Eyes in the sky. This is Aviator Cast, episode 114.
Calling all aviators. You've landed at Aviator Cast, the top podcast resource for interviews, refreshers, lessons, training topics, and more. Join weekly and share in our passion for flying things, exploring the rare air through flight. And now, another episode. Pre-flight complete, fuel on board, and flight plan filed. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. Here's your host, Chris Palmer.
Welcome, 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 aviators. You've landed at Aviator Cast. My name is Chris Palmer. While we look into the past and imagine ourselves being a Charles Lindbergh or Amelia Earhart, the truth is that we're not typically the air warriors of yesterday. These days, we have a whole team of people behind us helping in the success of our flights. Weather forecasters, ATC, instructors and mentors, fellow pilots, airport managers, and so on. We are part of a greater ecosystem of safety that brings with it some fantastic benefits. We are a part of that puzzle, and without us, the puzzle wouldn't quite be finished or complete. So welcome to this, the 114th episode of Aviator Cast. It is my pleasure to have you here. This is a podcast where we talk about aviation passion, aviation learning. I bring different people on the show that are aviators from all walks of life, whether that's military, airline, instructors, everyday private pilots, commercial pilots, whatever it is. Try to get a lot of different perspectives here on the show and hope that as I do so, you guys really enjoy that content and the sort of things that we can learn from one another. The big thing is to always be progressing to the next step, always be growing as an aviator. And so that's exactly what we do here is we're continually trying to learn and move on to the next step. Aviator Cast is brought to you by Aviator Training by Angle of Attack, offering online ground school wherever you are and flight training in Alaska. Get our Guide to the Sky video series with 3 hours of free getting started advice and steps. Turn your aviation passion into reality. Sign up today at aviatortraining.com. Again, that course is completely free. So, as always on the show, if I read your review, then I will give you a free Aviator Cast t-shirt. So, what you need to do is just leave a review on somewhere like iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube. And if I read that review on the show, then I will send you that Aviator Cast t-shirt, and I'm more than happy to do that as kind of a thank you back for doing that. So today we have a review that comes to us from Patrick Berry, and he says, best podcast of its kind. I've been searching for a worthwhile aviation podcast for a while, but the majority of them are unentertaining, uninformative, or just downright hard to listen to, which as an easily discouraged and penniless high school senior working on his private, doesn't do wonders for me. Then I found Aviator Cast and I was blown away the way you discuss issues, yours and your guests, and put everything so honestly keeps my passion growing stronger. Your guests are absolutely superb. They're absolutely all brilliant teachers, and I am absorbing knowledge like a sponge. Thanks for providing me with me and every other listener with free and extremely valuable knowledge. So, Patrick Berry, thank you very much for that review. If you write me at me@aviatorcast.com, I would be more than happy to send you that highly coveted Aviator Cast t-shirt. I actually talked to the graphic designer a few days ago, so that process is going to be starting very soon to get those designed and get them all ready to go. So we're going to be having a new version of that t-shirt here coming out soon. So I really appreciate that and appreciate you out there leaving a review on the show. Share the show if you learn something from this show, and I'd really appreciate that. All right, so we are going to be covering today, we are going to be covering flight following. So I know this is a topic that a lot of you have maybe worked on before, but I have found that there are many people that are a little sheepish about calling up and getting flight following, getting those extra eyes in the sky, so that I thought this would be a worthwhile topic to cover. So let's get into it. Let's get into flight following here. All right. So we are going to tackle this whole flight following issue and see exactly what we can learn through this process. So, you know, I've had a handful of students that I've put through to their private pilot level. And I just find that those that end up getting to this flight following level, which honestly isn't that hard, are those that end up working the radios a lot better. And I definitely encourage you to do so. So just kind of starting with the end in mind, this isn't rocket science. It's really not that difficult. I think the length and depth of what you're going to hear here during this flight following podcast is going to be more in depth than, you know, is really necessary. A lot of these things you would probably learn anyway if you just called up and got flight following yourself. So I want to go through this and I want to talk about it and then and hopefully give you guys some insight and take away that fear of just calling up and getting flight following. I think it's just a really good idea to do. So we're going to be starting, first of all, with the basics here. So we're going to be starting with the what, the when, the where, the how, all those things on how to get flight following and just do this whole thing. So from the base set, how do we even go through the process of getting flight following? So starting with those basics. So what is flight following in the very beginning? You know, it's a service available to VFR aircraft for advisories on traffic and weather. ATC gives us a squawk code, so that's a four-digit code. And then they can track us and give us advisories as we're flying along. So pretty simple there. You know, for VFR aircraft, it's for advisories, pretty simple right out the gate. So why would we want something like flight following? For me, it's actually all about increasing safety and fitting myself into the larger ecosystem of the National Airspace System, which is something that is voluntary that you don't have to do, but it's very helpful if you do that, do participate. And it just gives everyone a little bit more heads up. So when we do this, ATC will give us those traffic advisories like I talked about so that we have another set of eyes with us looking out in the sky, kind of like how I started out the show saying that we don't really fly on our own anymore. We're more part of a team. They give us that extra pair of eyes for traffic and they'll also give us some weather advisories. They won't give us as much weather information as you get from, say, flight following, but they definitely give you information that for like thunderstorms and precipitation and those sorts of things that could be hazardous. So that is the why we would do flight following. So when do we do flight following? Okay, these are all really simple concepts that we would do it anytime we're on a VFR flight plan and time allows. So there are times when air traffic control gets a little too busy and they aren't able to fit us in for the flight following or the advisories. That's a pretty rare case. That's only going to happen in very busy airspaces most of the time in the United States, as long as you're under capable of getting radar coverage. So, you know, you're not flying really close to terrain and below their radar coverage, you're going to be able to get flight following. And for the most part, almost all the time, you're going to be able to get that flight following. Now, if you call up and you see that other people aren't getting flight following, it doesn't make sense for you to ask for flight following. But I've even been in Southern California, just outside Los Angeles, and I've received flight following. So it's definitely possible almost anywhere you go. Okay. So how do we get flight following? Let's talk about that coming up here next. So the first step is the initial contact. So that is us soliciting the controlling agency and calling them up cold, okay? Couple different ways to do this. You could call up and you could first ask, you know, say Anchorage Center, Skyhawk 2423 uniform, wait for them to respond. Or if they aren't that busy and you can tell that, then you could call them up and say exactly what you are and what you're doing. So on the flip side of that, you could say Anchorage Center, 2423 uniform, 10 north of the Homer VOR, 2,500 feet, destination, Soldotna, flight following, please. So I was a little hum-ha-y there, but that's the basics of what you do. You tell them who you are, where you are, where you're going, and then that kind of starts the process, and then you request that flight following. So that's the initial contact. And also kind of the step two is, you know, there may be that initial contact of speaking to them, and then they come back and ask you what you need, and you tell them who, where, and your destination that you'd like flight following, okay? Then what they're going to do is they're going to come back to you, and they're going to say, November 2423 uniform, squawk 1131. And so then you squawk 1131, and you don't necessarily need to repeat that. Sometimes you can. If they tell you to ident, you can ident a couple different things there. But we're basically just entering our squawk code at this point, okay? Now, you've dialed in that squawk code. What's going to happen is it's going to start to send your information to air traffic control. They're going to see that specific number pop up on their screen. It's going to correlate with where you said you were. And then they're basically going to be able to put a tag on you and say, yeah, that's where this person is. And now I can start to provide those services. So they're going to call you back, and they are going to confirm that they have radar contact. Okay. They'll call you back and say radar contact, you know, 12 north of Homer VOR, 2,700 feet, Homer altimeter 3012. And then you could call back and say, you know, affirmative or however your radio call is there. You don't really need to repeat all the information. In other words, they just need to know that you're in radio contact. So usually I don't repeat the whole thing. I just repeat maybe even that the altitude is correct. So that's the very short of how to get flight following. So again, the initial contact of calling them up, telling them who you are, where you are, your destination, that you want flight following. They're going to give you a squawk code, and then you will they'll call you back and tell you that you have they have radar contact. Okay, so pretty simple along those lines. So that is how to do all that. All right. So now we are going to get into the benefits of doing flight following and a little more of the why on why we would even do this. So I think there are a lot of fringe benefits here on doing flight following. There are some obvious things that I've kind of already mentioned, but I'm going to go into more detail on each one of those now and explain to you and what those things are, how they work, what you can expect long-term from yourself in participating in this system, and how it can just help you along the way. So let's start to get into that. Let's get into the fringe benefits of doing this, okay? So the first one is eyes in the sky, okay? So I've had many instances where I've been on flight following and air traffic control will call me up and they'll give me some traffic that I didn't see, whether that be on ADS-B or otherwise, even with my own, with the own naked eye, where I couldn't see these people, okay? But they call up, they say traffic 12 o'clock, same altitude, 3 miles, opposite direction, whatever it is, then you know where to look. You can start scanning for that traffic, and lo and behold, you end up seeing traffic that isn't participating, okay? Maybe they're not even participating in the system. They're not participating, but you can see them, and air traffic control helped you kind of spot the location in the sky where to look a little bit harder, and then you can actually see that traffic. So it's very, very helpful. Again, to have that extra pair of eyes in the sky for you. And sometimes they can do this again, even if that other aircraft isn't on flight following, they can see that aircraft. There are instances where even if that aircraft doesn't have a transponder, so they're not even squawking VFR 1200, where closer to some larger airports, where they can see that aircraft on radar, and they can give you updates for that too. Now, all of this is kind of happening in the background. Again, what you're doing is you're just calling up air traffic control and you're saying, hey, I want flight following. And then along with that start coming all these other benefits. The fact that they're always watching for these conflicts, or rather their systems are working to find these conflicts with aircraft. And then they give you an update on that when maybe something pops up on their screen. So I'm not an air traffic controller. I don't know exactly how that works, but I do know that you know, at the base level, this is how it's working. Is there's a notification that comes up on their screen, then they call and tell you, and that's kind of how it works. Now, when I was down in Florida recently and flying into Sun and Fun with a friend, we had a lot of close calls. In other words, if we wouldn't have been on flight following, I don't know how we would have seen some of the airplanes that were overtaking us or crossing us. And we're talking same altitude and within a quarter mile, just very, very close, where we weren't necessarily staying on our flight path. We were deviating from where we were to avoid this traffic. That's how close it was because of the big air show, because of people coming and going through that airspace. It was very typical. Okay. So, you know, this is a supplement to ADS-B and TIS. So there are some mechanisms out there now where you can use ADS-B. You know, we have an ADS-B transponder in our flight school airplane. And what it does is it shows traffic and can show traffic through ForeFlight or through some other system. And then there's something like TIS and some other services which actually show that traffic on some avionics. So there are different systems out there that show that traffic on the avionics, but that doesn't always capture everyone, from what I've noticed. There have been times where I haven't seen someone on the screen and they've actually called up. So ADS-B is something that's still not quite in the system. It's mandated by 2020, so not everyone is participating yet. And then some of these other aircraft, especially around here that don't have transponders, we may not see them ourselves with the equipment we have, but air traffic control can see that with their primary radar. It's actually ground-based radar from what I understand. So that is eyes in the sky. Okay. They can also provide weather information. So this is really simple. Basically, what air traffic control is trying to do is they don't want you to fly in the thunderstorms. And they know that thunderstorms are very hazardous to all traffic. And so they look for thunderstorms and other heavy precipitation that would be hazardous to other aircraft. They typically will do other things too, like pass on turbulence information from other aircraft that have reported it, mostly reported it to them. You know, they wouldn't necessarily report, say, PIREPS. They wouldn't be too active on that, but that is possible as well. But in other words, you know, they are communicating with a bunch of different pilots in your area. And if there's pertinent information to you regarding weather and what they're seeing on their screen with radar, then they will report that to you. So that one's really simple. I know that these days we have a lot of aircraft that have onboard radar, like actual radar. And then we have other information services like ADS-B, which actually brings in some of that precipitation information into our cockpit with something like ForeFlight or, you know, XM Weather on avionics. There are a bunch of different options out there. But, you know, again, this is another set of eyes in the sky for you with this weather information. Okay. So that's also a good one. The next one, radio comfort. Now, I think this is honestly, as an instructor, this is probably one of the biggest fringe benefits of flight following. Because what we get is, of course, we're getting benefits, like we're getting that weather information, we're getting the traffic information. You're going to find later as we talk about safety that there are some safety benefits as well to having more eyes in the sky on you. So we have those benefits, okay? So that kind of makes sense. But getting more comfortable on the radio is something that helps a lot with, something that flight following will help a lot with. Because when we're operating at, say, a busy airport, say a Charlie or some Deltas can even be busy, but a Delta, a Charlie or a Bravo, one of those busy airspaces where we're dealing with a lot of traffic, you know, things seem pretty busy and that's overwhelming for a student. But a lot of times when we get into a flight following situation, it's a little more relaxed. There aren't as many radio calls and it's easier for a student and a newer private pilot to understand what's going on and help themselves build a picture of what is going on. So what this does is over time, you get more comfortable with these controllers. You find out they're actually humans. There's an easier transition than to IFR because you find out that a lot of the little idiosyncrasies, we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Keep in mind that it's advisory and not control. So you're not under really strict control like you are with IFR, where you have to do things perfect. And you have to, you know, follow your flight plan sort of thing. You're actually still VFR. So it's kind of this in between where you can still, you know, go over here and see that lake and go over here and see that mountain and descend a little bit and climb a little bit. Sometimes they'll ask you to advise if you're leaving your altitude or advise if you're leaving your course. That's kind of a different story, but that's kind of on a case by case basis. But in other words, it's really comfortable in flight following for the most part to hear, you know, the relaxed nature of the controllers, the repetitive radio calls that soon enough you can start to find out what exactly is happening and how it's going and how it all works. It's just a really nice way to learn the radios. And that's something that I find is really helpful on the private pilot level. Again, when you're trying to get used to the radios, I find that even at our local airport, we get a lot of busy traffic, okay? Even though it's an uncontrolled airport, or rather an untowered airport, and we're responsible for the radio calls ourselves, I find that even outside this area, you know, it just gets people more comfortable with the radios. They find out that, hey, I can talk on the radio and no one's going to yell at me, and it all works out pretty well. So that's kind of how I think. And again, one of the biggest benefits is just that radio comfort. Okay. The next one, and I kind of alluded to this, was the learning of the IFR system. So you're going to be on the same frequency as all of the IFR traffic. Okay. You're going to be on the same exact frequencies. You're going to hear the clearances that air traffic control is giving to that IFR traffic. You're going to hear the regular updates that sometimes pilots that are flying IFR have to do. And you're just going to have this overall sense of how the IFR system is starting to work from one place to the next. And if there's anything I think that we miss when we do IFR training, is that I think instructors typically have a difficult time putting the big picture into picture. Okay. So that means having a way to say, okay, this is how everything flows through in the IFR system. This is how it works. And just kind of explaining that whole process. I think that that's something that instructors typically forget how to do. So, for me, I think that as you're going through this, you're going to just find that you're hearing the phrases, you're hearing how things are working. And then when you go and transition to doing your instrument training, you're going to be up to speed on those phrases. You're going to know kind of how the whole system is working from takeoff to departure to climb, to en route, to descent, to approach. And you're going to hear those things quite a bit as you're going through flight following. And so that when you go and do them in your training for instrument, it's not going to be totally foreign to you. Because if there's anything about instrument, it's just that there's a lot of knowledge put together of the skills and the numbers and how to fly everything, but then also how to communicate and how all that works and what you're cleared to do and when and what you're not cleared to do. So this helps you ease in to that IFR system. And I find that it's just incredibly helpful along those lines. So that is learning the IFR system. Okay. All right. So next is the extra layer of safety. Okay. So I kind of view this as a safety sandwich. Okay. So nobody likes a sandwich that is sparsely filled. Okay. We don't go to Subway to get a couple pieces of lettuce and like one piece of meat and then a whole lot of bread. Okay. When we get a sandwich, we like a sandwich. We like a ton of stuff on it. We like sauce. We like loads of veggies. We like layers of meat, hopefully some bacon on there. You know, we like a lot of stuff. And so when we think about safety, we want to think about it in terms of building layer upon layer of safety. and how that works for us. So when I think of flight following and I think of how that helps us out with safety, I think of the fact that, you know, there are several things that I use to make sure people know where I am at all times, okay? Of course, there are flight plans. You've maybe heard of flight plans before. That's kind of an older and archaic system where thankfully these days we can do it digitally, but we file a flight plan. In generic terms, air traffic control knows our route, where we'll be along that route at a certain time roughly. Again, since we're VFR, we can veer off that route. And then how many people we have on board and contact information and how much fuel we have, how long we're expected to be. And then if we don't show up at our destination, you'll actually get a phone call if you forget to close your flight plan, because they're looking out for you, okay? They want to know that you've made it to that destination. So in other words, it's this on the record way of making sure people know where we are, and those people being flight service. And if it all doesn't work out and we don't show up where we're supposed to be, then they will come looking for us with search and rescue, okay? That's a flight plan at the very basic level. Now, another thing I use here in Alaska is I use a tracker. So that is a personal tracker typically used for outdoor type stuff. So a lot of hikers use them. A lot of outdoor people use them. So what I do is I have my own tracker. And so I have a very specific location of where I am at all times, so that if I had an emergency and I went down somewhere, then there would be a very recent and quite local area for search and rescue to look, okay? So I have that tracker that will show people where I am. The nice thing about here in Alaska is we have something called a master flight plan, and we can actually add a link to our tracker website into our flight plan. And so even immediately, if needed, search and rescue can verify where we are. So that's a really helpful feature too. There are several of those trackers out there on the market, okay? Another good thing is to make sure that friends know where you are, okay? They know when you're supposed to be somewhere. They know what you're doing. They know who you're with. They know the general flight path. I typically tell my wife where I'm going all the time. So you just have layers of safety there, okay? But of course, we haven't mentioned the main subject today, and that is flight following. So we have a way to track us live, which is something we can give that information to many people through a website. We have our flight plan, which is on the record with flight service, and then we have our friends. But if we're on flight following and using flight following, then we are in communication with someone at all times during our flight. So it ends up being this very helpful thing that if something ever went wrong, then we have someone to talk to immediately. You know, we don't have to wait 2 hours until our flight plan expires or however long it is for them to start looking for us. We can talk to someone right away. So that's very helpful in a lot of cases. I think it gives almost any pilot a good warm, fuzzy feeling to know that there is someone there to help them if they really needed it. So again, I kind of see that as the safety sandwich. So we have that tracker, we have different abilities We have different abilities to create that sandwich. You know, all those things that just stack up, make it nice and delicious, and give us a good sense of safety. An extra layer of safety, again, is what we're getting with flight following, okay? Now, we also have, again, the control versus advisory. So they don't usually tell us what to do. They're not as strict as what we're doing. VFR is not as strict as IFR. So we're doing kind of this in-between where we're kind of participating in most of the IFR system, but we don't have to follow the rules like we do in the IFR system, but we're benefiting from most of the benefits of the IFR system and being safe. Of course, being VFR, I'm not saying that we're flying an IFR like this, but that's kind of the way it goes, okay? So again, they're going to ask you that if you're leaving certain altitudes sometimes or deviating off course to let them know. They're not saying you can't do that. They're just saying, let me know if you do that. Maybe they have an IFR flight in the area that they're trying to separate with you. In other words, you're playing along, you're participating with them, and that's really helpful. Okay, so that is control versus advisory. All right, and then the last one here, and this is, I think this is a really cool fringe benefit, is that it really helps you move through complex airspace. So think of it this way. You've just taken off from your local airport. It's uncontrolled, and once you get out of the local area, you call up flight following, and you're going to be getting flight following all the way to a Class Bravo, very busy airport, okay? And you're not so sure about all the frequencies along the way, you know, what approach controller to contact and when and where and all those things. But what's really helpful is that as soon as you're on flight following, you're treated almost like an RFR flight with those communications. So they are going to pass you off from one controller to the next and really simplify that process. So as long as you know the initial person to contact, every other person along the way is going to be easy to contact, okay? So this is honestly one of the best things about IFR too, and why I say that sometimes it's easier to fly IFR than it is VFR, because they take care of a lot of things for you, like this particular thing here with looking at those frequencies and really not having to do that, but having it passed off from one person to the next. So it's like a chain of handoffs that you're getting from one controller to the next. And that is most of the radio calls you're going to be doing when you're doing flight following. You're not going to be talking to them all the time. You know, you're going to be talking to them when they're advising you on traffic or weather or giving you a new local altimeter setting, and when they're passing you off, when they're handing you off to someone else. Those are the typical radio calls you get, which are radio calls that are fairly simple. So that is navigating through the complex airspace. All right. So that is it for flight following. I thought you guys would enjoy some of my thoughts that I've seen, some of the experiences that I've had with flight following. I think it's hugely beneficial for those moving into to instrument, but I also think it's hugely beneficial for those that are learning for the first time and trying to get a feel for communicating. It's just a really easy, simple way to practice, and it comes with a lot of fringe benefits. So that's my spiel on flight following. And now we are going to get into the end thoughts here and go from there.
Join us next week for another exciting topic or interview with a great guest. All AviatorCast resources can be found at aviatorcast.com. Subscribe to AviatorCast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, YouTube, and other podcast services. Did you enjoy the show? Review AviatorCast on iTunes or similar service. If your review is aired on the show, we'll send you an official AviatorCast t-shirt. As always, we'd love to hear from you. Write AviatorCast at me@aviatorcast.com to introduce yourself or to ask any questions you may have about aviation. Now, for the final release clearance, back to Chris Palmer.
All right, everybody. Again, thank you for joining on this episode of AviatorCast. I hope you're enjoying this content. As always, if you have any additional ideas on content that I can do, things that you're struggling with, extra comments on this particular topic of flight following, feel free to write me@aviatorcast.com. I also try to do a good job catching up on all the comments wherever you're seeing this video. So that's something that I'll be engaging in as well. So I hope you guys are continuing to learn, to move forward. If you're not quite all the way through your ratings yet, I do offer online ground school at aviatortraining.com. I currently have a private pilot ground school that's there available today. You can get all that content. And then I have an instrument ground school I'm working on and a commercial ground school later this year. So if you're looking to go through any of those ratings, please consider me. I'd love to have you on board for that. Always love seeing people move forward. I have a student right now that took my private pilot ground school, and he is going to have his license here in the next few weeks. He's a Coast Guard guy, and he's doing a great job and just having the time of his life. So I love nothing more than hearing from him and hearing how he's progressing. It's something that I just get a lot of fulfillment out of. I really love teaching, and I love seeing people achieve their dreams in aviation. So that's what it truly is all about. If there's anything I can do to help you, again, feel free to reach out to me at aviatorcast.com. Engage, you know, be part of this community. Share this with others if you think that they would benefit from it. And just keep trucking on. You know, this is a process that takes a lot of hard work, great determination, and you just can't get past that. You know, there's no participation trophies in aviation. It's a thing that I find to be a very serious endeavor, but I also have a lot of fun doing it. So I hope that you feel the exact same way. All right, so that's it for me. Until next time, throttle on.